some precepts for assurance, victory, and an abundant life. I know that's kind of long. Number one precept, I got a 44 Magnum up here. We're going to stack all these things up in a long line and see how many the bullet will go through. Seriously. No, I'm just teasing. I want to read you some scripture. John 10. Lord, we thank him for his word right now. You know his word is true. It's alive. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, we thank you that you pierce our hearts, our souls. God, let this word go in. Let this word change me. Let this word free me. Let this word give me encouragement. Let this word, God, restore hope where hope has been bound and lost in Jesus' name. God, where there's weariness as it's come in, God, your word refreshes. God, your word does everything that we need. It's all we need, God, to live successfully for you, Jesus, to hear your word, read your word, obey your word in Jesus' name. Y'all are real familiar with these scriptures, but listen, John 10:10, y'all know it. The thief comes not but except to steal, to kill, to destroy, but Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life abundant, more abundantly. You're right. Somebody said more. You're right. It's more. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-7, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord comes as a what? Thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, listen, you, brethren, are not of darkness. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Who's a brethren? You're a brethren if you're a believer, right? What it's saying there is the whole world's going to be deceived. The whole world's going to be deceived. The whole world is not going to be ready for Jesus' return. And this isn't a second coming message at all. I'm just saying the whole world is lost. The whole world is going in circles. The whole world has no clue what's going on. Just watch the news sometime if you want to see confusion. It's total confusion. And that confusion is trying to rub off on the saints of God. And when you fellowship with worldly things and when you fellowship with worldly opinions, that starts rubbing off on you. And you start getting confused. Have y'all felt a spirit of confusion trying to settle down? It's a spiritual thing. It's a demon. I don't believe in demons. Well, they believe in you, and they want to take you out. But they can't, okay? Unless you allow them to. You, brethren, you Faith Harvesters, you Highway 150 corridor members are not in darkness. So this day shall not overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light. Listen, you're light. You are salt. You are the salt of the earth. The first time I read that, Jesus said, you are, I am, you are. I always thought it was taught Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the salt. Of course he is. But you know what? As believers, Sarah, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, young man, will not be hidden. Cannot be hidden, Jason. Even on a demonic barge where everybody's cursing, and you're not everybody, but the sway is evil. Even at Rubber Town, God, where the sway is evil, brother, you are light. And when you walk into a place, guess what? Light always dispels darkness unless you put your light under a bushel, right? We got to quit hiding that light, man. We got to quit it. It'll take you out of the race, man. Well, praise the Lord. I wasn't going to preach on that. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Until you get all the way captivated, then you're drunk all the time, you know. Revelation 16:15, behold, I am coming. Who's this talking? Jesus. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this. What's that mean? Know this. Is that kind of a strong statement? Know this. Not think this, maybe this. Know this, right? That's a strong statement. That if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house, his physical house, his spiritual house, he would not allow that to be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And Karen, temptation's coming to you at an hour that you do not expect. How many of y'all have one of them big temptation bombs just wham? You ever had one hit you? Just wham, out of nowhere. You ever had that? You had that, brother. I see you shaking your head. If you're not ready, you know, Satan don't give this two-minute warning. I'm sending a really hard temptation to you at 10:45 on Monday morning. It don't work like that. You need to be prayed up. You need to be read up, studied up, and again, it's not a works technology. That won't get you into heaven. Only the blood of Jesus. Only confessing Jesus will get you into heaven. But if you want to go somewhere with the gospel, there's certain things you have to do. There's certain things you have to give up. You got to put things of God more important than things of the world. Amen. You got to give up some stuff. Man, when I gave my life to Jesus and I decided I'm going to walk with him, I didn't give up anything. I gained everything. If that ain't been your experience, you know, you haven't. Especially you, young lady. Praise God for your, praise God you graduated from high school. I'm so proud of you, and I'm proud of all the ones that did. But, man, I was, you know, we went to visit Troy. You remember Troy. Troy and him used to be good buddies. Troy had a horrible childhood. I hated taking him home at night from youth group. It was like dumping him off into a demon's den. It was that bad. You know it was. And you probably had some of that, too. So his senior year, maybe some of his junior year, he came and lived with us to get out of that pit. That young man, he's amazing. You know, he has, his whole family lineage was, it's turned around, and now it's a godly lineage. But he's tried to raise his children in the way they should go. But Donna and I went to the college campus with this little girl that had just graduated from high school, his daughter. And the atmosphere, I mean, get this, beautiful colonial buildings, trees, beautiful trees and flowers, everything landscaped beautifully. Just a beautiful, beautiful campus. But it felt like yuck. Southern campus, too. We're not talking about some liberal northern campus. She said, oh, come look at the bookstore. the titles. It was the most demonic. Everything was about transgender. Everything was about homosexual. Everything was about sex, and spiritual things, unspiritual things. And that is what you will face. And I praise God that it probably wasn't time for you to go away to college yet. You know, God gives you grace to do certain things. If you go there for the right, I'm not saying you can't survive college. I'm just saying if you go there ungrounded, you're going to get ripped apart. I had a nephew that went to college. He was a believer, born-again believer. Don't think he was too strong. But he majored in philosophy. Guess what you hear in philosophy? That boy was an agnostic or an atheist in a year. Now he's quit and he's got some of his mind back. I'm just saying, and I'm not bad-mouthing colleges. I'm just saying, if you go to work ungrounded, if you go to school ungrounded, if you go anywhere ungrounded, you're going to get your lunch eat. I'm not painting a bad picture. I'm just saying, when revival burns in you like fire, you're going to be raw, like you are, Mike. Those kids know that you carry the presence. Don't they? Do they respect him? Do they respect him because he's a elder or a senior chief, or do you think they respect him for something deeper than that? Oh, I know it's both. I didn't mean to poo-poo on college. I love to watch them throw that basketball across the court as much as anybody, but never mind. 1 John, go to 1 John. You got a Bible? You need a Bible? Oh, I can't give it. You didn't even want your Bible. What's the matter with you? Give you a nice Bible that costs $10 with your name engraved. Make sure you got the right one. Did we spell it wrong? Well, praise God. 1 John chapter 1. Y'all okay reading a little bit? You know, I looked at precepts. I don't know what's precepts mean to you? Foundational commandments. It also said it meant a prescription. I thought that was pretty cool, prescription, you know. Like if you're sick, you were given a prescription. Well, a precept or a prescription's from God so you can live healthy and you can live holy. And you can overcome the attacks of the enemy. Now you always think of John as the disciple that loved Jesus. Jesus loved that disciple, and he was like his buddy, you know. And he was. You think of John as the guy that wrote John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. You'd say John was a grace guy, wouldn't you? Yeah, really? But you get into 1 John, and he starts talking to the church, the people that already believe. He starts talking because he sees some things that aren't, you know, how soon after the church started that heresy started creeping into the church. It didn't take no time at all for the enemy to get in and start trying to pervert the things that Jesus spoke, right? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the capital W, word of life. So what's he saying here? He said, hey, we walked with him, we heard him preach, we touched him, we saw him hang on the cross and die, we seen him resurrected, we seen him do miracles. We watched him. We know who he is. We are eyewitnesses. the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What's manifested? You ever seen a demon manifest? Have you? You need to. It make you think about staying away from certain things. You ever seen a demon manifest? Was it pretty? No. You ever seen the Holy Ghost manifest? You ever been manifest? Did you ever manifest the Spirit of God? What have you seen, man, people manifesting the Spirit of God? Were they throwing up? Were they cursing? Were they trying to take somebody's head off? What were they doing? Laughter sometimes? Tears sometimes? Shaking sometimes? Falling down sometimes? Sometimes just being still before God at all? There's no... I'm just saying manifest. We have seen the Son of God manifest. You need to see the Son of God manifest in your life. If he's not manifest, then you're hiding him. If he's not manifest, then you're holding back. And I'm not talking about physical manifestations. You may never shake. You may never fall down. That, you may never cry or laugh. That's not no sign. Emotions are no sign that God's working. But when people see you, old things do pass away, don't they? Yes, they do. Don't they just pass away?
Yes, they do.
And all things become brand new. Oh, I'll never get through this. I was going to read this whole thing. I was going to read the whole rest of the New Testament. Bring your lunch, son. Bring your lunch. Manifested to us that which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you that you also may have. Why are we manifest? Why are we telling you what God's done? So that you may have fellowship with us. What's that? Is that koinonia? Am I right or wrong? The Greek word. Fellowship. What's fellowship?
Interaction.
In fact, yes, I looked it up. And in fact, it says intercourse.
Yeah.
Not trying to be crude, but social intercourse, which is much deeper than just, oh, how you doing today? Did you have a good day? Praise God, you had a good week. God bless you. It is community, and we like that. I'm sorry, we lack that in this church. I apologize. But the whole world is pulling and pulling and pulling. It's you ever seen a whirlpool? I know you've seen one in your toilet, but have you ever seen one? You ever seen a movie with one? They're in the middle of the ocean. There's some that are like, whoa. They are like, did you ever see a whirlpool, Si? You were on a ship. Did you? What was it like? I always wanted to see one. Was it going clockwise or counterclockwise? It draws everything down. You're right. Mike, did you ever see one in your adventures on the high seas? Well, I've seen, you know, I know it's all, but they're just swirling. And I've seen them. Have you ever been around a dam where they're letting water out of a dam, like at Kentucky Lake or something? They're just... And these guys are down there in boat fishing. I'm thinking, you guys are idiots. Because if you get, I mean, it will pull you down. Boy, that went a long way from manifest. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you so your joy may be full. John didn't write these things to us to scold us or beat us or whip us. He wrote these so our joy could be full. What's joy? I hate to ask these elementary questions, but is that laughter and somebody tells a joke and you laugh? Or what is joy? Peace. Peace. It's able to have peace in the midst of what? The storm. In the very midst of everything going wrong, you can still smile and you can still say, God is good. What's that?
He's in our
Internal contentment. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've seen a whole lot of people, Christian people that really love Jesus, I've seen them lose their joy. And when you lose your joy, I mean, that's what keeps you strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Joy is so deep. I used to have a Bible, a Living Bible, and I made an acronym. I'm sure somebody told me that, but big old J-O-Y, and I put under it, Jesus, others, you. And if you can keep things like that, very hard to do sometimes, but if you can put Jesus first and other people second and you very last, you know what? You'd think that would be a mix for like misery, but that's a mix for true joy. Let me just let John talk for a minute. This is the message with which we have heard and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. How much? At all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, capital H, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're liar. Is that what it's saying? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So John was kind of putting this out here like, you know what? You can walk without sin. Now, I know somebody's going to crunch me but I want you to know that you can walk in perfection of heart. Let me put it that way. Like if you've got a little child and that little child messes up and spills a drink or something, you don't slap them in the head and beat them with a hammer because they made a mistake. No, Aaron, when they throw something down on purpose is when you hit them in the head with a hammer. But you don't do that. And God is so much, and we know He's got a problem with anger, so kind, you got joy. But no, I mean, you can walk in perfection. You can walk in purity. You can walk in wanting to please God so much that it just breaks your heart when you do sin. He said, don't sin. Don't sin. But if you should sin, praise God. It's not like I got a get out of jail free card. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, God. Let's make this right now. Anybody in your life ever been, have you ever been, I think it's a legal term, estranged from somebody? I'm not talking about a mate. Have you ever been where there's just a wall between you and somebody in church? Especially in church, it's the worst, isn't it? You ever been walking through the mall? Maybe at Christmas, about the only time I get in there, really. But you've been walking through the mall, and you look up, and you see somebody, it's like, I hope they didn't see me. No, really. And I know that's it. Pastor shouldn't talk like that. But have you ever? I got convicted, so I just had to walk over there and talk with them. Now, I'm not saying everything was healed and cured, but you know what? You can't run from that because it gets worse and worse and worse. And guess what? Sometimes you'll leave a church because there's somebody like that. Guess what? When you get to that next place, there's going to be somebody custom prepared for you that's going to grate your nerves just like that. Did you ever hear Dick Rubin talking about fellowshipping and what it does? How many of y'all ever been to Smoky Mountain? You ever like to walk up and down them creek beds, those beautiful, there's a picnic area, Chimney Rock? But it's beautiful. But did you ever notice the stones in those creeks? They're round. They're smooth. Did you ever notice that? What do you think made them that way? He said, banging up against each other, and that sand and that friction making them smooth. So, you know, God doesn't try us, but God will show us who we are. God already knows who you are. God already knows what pulls Jason's string and makes him mad, if anything. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. Advocate means like lawyer, representative, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. What's that mean? It's atonement. He's paid the price. He's shed his blood. He's made a way for you to be acquitted. He himself has become the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Who walked? We should walk the way Jesus walked. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Brethren, I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Y'all okay if I go on and read the rest of this passage? I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men. I looked up young men in the Greek, and it's under 40. So if you're under 40, you're a young man. Yay! I would be a father. It don't say old men. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And see, I pulled something out of this. I might just stop right here. He said the young men have overcome. It said the fathers, father, right? We should be fathers. We should be fathers to the little ones, right? I'm just telling you what I see in this. But the young men overcome the wicked one. So that tells me that people under 40 should have a zeal and a passion to war. Amen. And see, that's when the world says you ought to be the most productive and get all your stuff together. But God's saying those years are the best years of your life for warring. Because you know they don't draft people my age. They'd have to give you an M16 and a walker, right? What good is that in battle? They want young men. But the world wants young men to waste their time thinking about sex and pornography and getting drunk and getting high and just, and or good things like building your home. There's just all kinds of things you can do that will take you away. And hey, I'm not limited to this to 40 either. I believe we're all warriors. But when you got that edge, man, use it. Stand up. Okay, this one's your best Mel Gibson freedom from Braveheart. Somebody got a real strong voice. I want them to get on the mic.
I'll do it.
Freedom! That kind of freedom. Yeah, I'll let you do it. Praise God. If you're free in Jesus, you're free indeed. Let's proclaim it.
Ready?
No, when we blow this, I want you to proclaim it for you, for your children, for your family, for your community, for the corridor, for Faith Harvest Assembly. Proclaim freedom!
Amen.
Y'all ready?
Yep.
I want it loud, man, and proud.
Okay.
Freedom!
Yeah, come on. for Jesus to come by. No! Confidence. I like that. Y'all ready? Come here, man. I want you to extend your hands out to Sam.
Yeah.
Yay, Lord. God, we pray for our brother in Jesus' name, God. I thank you for lightning and fire and the power and the thunder of the Holy Spirit to be upon my brother, God, without measure, Jesus. God, give him everything he needs to succeed, God. A strong father, a strong husband, a warrior under 40, a man of God, a young man of God under 40. They can do the works of God. We come against confounding spirits. We come against things that would pull him away from his destiny. And we release life on you, an abundant life, brother, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
That was a holy kiss. You can always tell the difference, too. That was prison. Whoa, I knew it would be. Wow, thank you, Jesus, for moving in prison. And in a way, a lot of the church is in prison and don't even know it, right? We're coming out, praise God. We're going to have a breakout. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Yay. Yeah, give some applause to that. Yay. Woo.
Breakout.
All right, so would you guys like to play some precious, hard, fast, kill? I don't care. It's whatever God says for you to do, but I'm so glad y'all are here. And I repent of where I've not done what I need to do, but you repent where you haven't done what you need to do, okay? If we repent, we'll be okay. We can pick up the mantle and we can go where God wants us to go. Bible says, if you should sin, is that what it said?
Yep.
What's sin? Miss the mark. You missed the mark. If you should sin, you have an advocate, you have a lawyer, you have a just, righteous, holy man that will stand in the gap for you, right? And he will cleanse you from all sins. And when you're clean from sin, you're a new creation, right? You can walk holy. You can walk bold. You can. What were some of the things we said we proclaimed? Freedom. Victorious. Healing. You can walk in all those things if you're clean. And if you got to get clean 10 times a day, that's okay. Take a bath. 10 times. Wash yourself. I think it was, I'm trying to think of the guy that, was it praying? It was the one that Steve Hill talked about. He walked around all day. He was an evangelist, maybe to the Native Americans. I'm not sure, but he walked around all day. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. You know, and you don't have to do that, but I'm just saying, realize that a clean heart, wow, nothing like it. That first love just flowed because there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. So if you got things you need to get straight with the Lord, nobody's going to call you out or pray for you, but just come up to this altar and lay it down. You know that you're lacking. You know that there's things in your life that aren't right. You know that God has things for you that are big, but he can't entrust it to you yet. You're the one holding your destiny up, okay? And you may be just right where you might be right where you need to be right now. I know I haven't been, and I know God's got more for me. So, Lord God, I pray over this. Just hold your hands out like I receive. God, I just pray over this faithful flock that's imperfect. We all are, God. They're imperfect, but God, I believe every one of them wants to be more like you, God. They want more of you. God, we ask for a fresh touch this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, you would convict us of sin right now, God, and show us Do we need to bow before you? Do we need to repent of some things? And God, we know that if we do, that you will cleanse us. You will take our feet off the wrong track and put us on the right track. So God, bless them going out and bless them coming in. Bless them with life and peace. Bless them with a body that functions properly. Bless their families to be whole, God. Bless their home to have a protective covering over it, God. Lord, a hedge of protection around their homes and property lines, God, and prosper them spiritually, physically, financially. God, meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory, God. More, Lord, more, Lord. If you need to repent, if you need more, whatever you need, if you need prayer from someone, there's several of us that would love to pray for you. But please don't leave here if God's calling you, because I know he will do what he said he would do. He's a good God.